Hebrews chapter 3 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 3. When there's much unrest, we're going to talk about rest tonight. The theme's not great, but it doesn't match the events of the day, but it's what keeps our minds right. One of the reasons I like football so much is in 2 hours, 2.5 hours, a lot of things can happen. Go from really good to really bad. You know what I'm talking about, Jeremy? What happened? Things can go good for a while, and you can check out. And you think, let's put on autopilot. Then all of a sudden, everybody starts coming back, and you go to turn it on again, and the turn-on button's stuck. It's just like, then you're just hoping to hang on from the turn-on, and all these things. But no matter what, you'd say, we got to finish. We got to keep going. And the attitude needs to stay. You start with the right attitude. I mean, you guys, they used to have teammates, get these guys that bang their heads in the lockers and all kinds of these things. You know, just be determined up here to do what you've trained to do, to do what you've practiced to do, that you have the mindset to go out and do your job. Whether you say a thing or not, just go and do your job. We preach a lot of mindset messages, especially on Sunday morning. It is huge. It's huge. It's what determines whether you live or not. And I don't know anybody in here that's been in a POW cell, right? But you talk to those guys, what helped me get through, what made it through? It's just the mindset, I'm going to make it. They didn't know if they were. I mean, sometimes they watch them pull their buddies out and just never saw them again. Why'd they choose that? Watch it. But I'm just going to get up each and just do each day. We're not guaranteed it tomorrow. So we get up and make the best out of what we got today. We still got our processes. And way more important than that, we still have God. We still have God. And it's nice. That's one of the things that just attracts me to some of these new outlets is anchors talking about God on the thing. I'm like, this is wonderful. And people, and it's just been amazing, poor Fox News. What a mess. What a mess. They interviewed a guy today on the street. He was a motorcycle guy, but he's a veteran. You know, this reporter thought he was going to be angry about what was going on. What do you think about all these people trying to break in here? He's like, whose house do you think this is? He says, this is our house. He's like, our tax dollars. The guy broke away. He said, he's very upset. He's obviously very angry about it. He's like, he thought, had him stereotyped, thought this guy is just going to say what we want. Had to break. It was embarrassing. I was shameful. I was like, that is embarrassing. I'm a grown man. Serve the country. Let him speak. Oh, he didn't say what you wanted him to say. Help us. A lot of people talking about the Lord, and I'm super thankful for that. Like I said, we had a pastor friend from New Jersey. I did not know he was there. He had someone on Facebook tonight before we got to church. My wife told me about it. I said, man, it was wonderful. I had a chance to pray with people on the street. Just said it was really, really encouraging. It was good. For all the bad that you see. So I say that to not lose heart in those things. Wherefore, holy brethren, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. This is a very exhorting chapter, and it helps us to think. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. It's a step above being an American. I know we got it good, but it's a step above that. The holy brethren, it's a step above it. I like it when I was in graduate school. I was working for Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. I would go into Spokane, park, get in a truck, and I'd drive about 2.5 hours to Ione, like almost the Canadian border. Then I'd check this kokanee trap, and I would I'd go and do fish counts and stuff like that. Well, it was during the first Obama administration, either the first year or what. I never listened to talk radio much. I never listened, but I think it was Sean Handerson. They would always say, you're a great American. You're a great American. And I heard some today. Dick Morris and some guys that I hadn't heard in a long time used to be, you know, they used to call in and be contributors to the other stations. They said, I mean, you're a great American. Thank you for your service. But this is a step above that even. It says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. But what's funny about that word apostle there, everybody? It's a capital A. Somebody mess up? No, they didn't mess up. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Okay, so that word profession there, not speaking of this is what I do, it's what we profess from our hearts, Christ. Father, thank you for your grace tonight. Lord, thank you for watching over us, Lord, even our mess that we displayed today, Father. It wasn't good for the world to see today, Father, but for whatever reason it happened. And Lord, you make things work. I pray that you'd use this scripture, Father, and help us tonight. And Father, help us to think one step above where we are here today. Lord, remember you're in control of all these things. We've spoke about it a lot lately and a lot this fall. And we just ask that you bless your word tonight. Pray that you bless the Patch Club tonight as your words are put into the hearts of your young people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 2. Who, Christ Jesus, was faithful to him that appointed him. This first part of this chapter is going to speak about the one that did the work, the one that sent him. And God's done the work. God sent us to do a work. Who is faithful to him that appointed him? Who appointed Christ when Jesus came? Who is faithful to him as the Father was? Also, verse number 2, it says, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Again, in Hebrews, there's comparisons here. Christ with the angels, chapter 1. It's going to be Christ and Moses in some of the other chapters to show people it's Christ you need to consider. It's Jesus that you need to think about. Don't get hung up on all the characters in your Super Hebrew Bible style. It's Jesus Christ that you have to be concerned with there. Well, so-and-so, they were really good, and I'll name my kid Joshua, and wonderful, and got the name Joshua, wonderful, but hey, Joshua even means Savior, right? But it's like, but it's Christ is the one that we need to consider. Moses was great, but hey, it's Jesus Christ. And it says, as also Moses was faithful in all his house, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Whose grave do they talk about disputing over? That's Moses' grave. Nobody could go and put flowers where Moses was buried. And a lot of people think, why? Because they'd go and worship there. They'd put a shrine there, and this is where Moses was. It's Moses. Yeah, he's awesome. He was a leader. He helped bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. It's only happened once, not going to happen again. Phenomenal! But who do we need to consider? We need to consider Christ. We need to think about the Lord Jesus. Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Verse 4, for every house is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God. One of the arguments today from the other side was, there's a history teacher, and he keeps a bust in his office, and it's of somebody important, and all the bust says was the cleric on the bottom. And nobody knows his name, and I think it's 100 years old or 150 years old, but he uses it to teach his kids that what you do is not important. Then nobody's going to remember who you are. It's what you're into, what you're doing right now. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, what we do is important. The causes that we choose to take up are huge. If you go, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen. But if a good name chooses a crummy cause, that's not good. What is your cause? I didn't know some people could say the word republic. They actually said it today. I'd heard some people say constitution. Like, I thought they'd forgotten about it. They didn't care about it anymore. I said, wow, you do know what that word is. That's impressive. It's not your cause, though. That was your cause. And if all these things that we'd speak about would be our cause, the Bible says every house is builded by some man. Say, well, who built this out? No, I don't know. Or sometimes they'll keep the name of the construction company out front so people are driving by and say, oh, that's a nice house. Oh, maybe they could build my house, right? And 20 years goes down by, if nobody knows that, I don't know who built that house. Well, who built the trees? We used to build that, man. God made the trees. We won't forget that. Don't forget. So we look at things that men do and we think, what a great, we're all working with stuff that God made. God made all those things. Every house is built by some man. And I don't take away from that. I couldn't build a house, I don't think. It'd take me forever, and I know it wouldn't be square. It wouldn't be. It'd take me forever. If I did, I'd shoot for a tiny house, Brother Jesse, like real small. Like real small, you know, and just get it just, you know. And I don't know if you could build it with lumber from up here because it's hard to find. I mean, have you ever been to a real lumber yard? It's just like there's grades of lumber. In Alaska, we just get stuff, right? And you go, I think they send us the corkscrew piles from all the other lows of the world. In fact, just ship it to Alaska. They'll hit enough rain going through southeast. They all straighten out by then. You know, like, good lumber build itself a house. It's just straight it is. But the things that man does do not compare to what God does. The Bible says, he that built all things is God. And Moses barely was faithful in all his house as a dictator. Man. And he had to learn to delegate. We know that about Moses. I just see him sitting on his little stool all night hearing people's problems, and the mile of people that are coming to see him, you know, is just forever long. He's trying to help everybody. And his father-in-law. Praise God for father-in-laws. Amen. I got a father-in-law. Yeah. Hey, you should think about this, you know, or I got news for you. I said, oh, I better listen. Humble yourself and listen. I'm about to get some help here. You know, and, hey, you should give this a shot. You should try delegating a little bit. Well, the Bible says in verse 5, he was faithful in all his house as a servant. So we see in verse 2, him that appointed Christ was faithful. We see that Moses was faithful. It's one of these traits that's passed down here. It's his faithfulness. The Bible says it's required of a steward that a man be found. That's one of the first verses I memorized as a little kid. It's faithful. It's like, man, steward. I love the word steward. You use stuff, but it's not yours. But you care for it, but then you still use it. I struggle with conservation-minded people because really at heart, a lot of them are preservationists. They don't want it touched at all. Conservation, you use. And you see it come back again and renew, not just like strip something bare and take it out and you use it. As a steward, it's the same thing. God's like, here you are. Here you are. Use it. Now, you could go too far. You're greedy and you're like, oh, I want it all. And you take it and there's none left because you took it all. And it's not good. So steward is a great word. Being a servant, being faithful, verse 5, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now that's confidence in him. That is rejoicing of hope in him. You got to continue to do that. It's the only thing. It's the one thing that's going to stay constant. And I put stock in some people thinking, boy, I sure hope this person decides, and then they don't do it. I'm like, I've been let down a little bit. Last night I was excited, and then I was, or just that way. I didn't yell and kick the dog. The good thing dog went close, we'll put it that way. the voting irregularity stuff gets people to think, well, I'm not going to go. It's not worth my time. People already struggle with apathy and voting. That's already there. And I just, in my heart, I said, people aren't going to do it. That means the other side's going to do it twice. But it's just like, same machines, same system, same stuff. What's going to change? And I was still just like razor thin. I don't know what we were watching, but it was like every, you know, Nolan, my kids got really interested into it this year. So they're like watching, Dad, it's 68% and so-and-so's up by something. And then like, you know, 10 minutes ago, like, now it's 72% and so on. And like, it would like flop by like 5,000, 10,000. It's like, wow, this is crazy. But then, you know, one state and, you know, two deals. But I was just like, man, really? But you know what that means? It's people, we're out there working on teaching. If we teach the Bible, you will not end up with communists. It just doesn't work that way. And I couldn't sit in that gentleman's church. I know I couldn't do it. Because stuff would just go, that isn't going to be right. And I don't even know if the other candidates were even decent. I didn't know their people. I don't know. All I know is these things. They're not Bible things. So we had to hold fast to our confidence that's in Christ. We put our confidence in men. Boy, it's going down. And the Bible talks about that. When we make flesh our arm, we'll be disappointed. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice. Still got to listen. A lot of noise going on. But today, you still have to do it. This chapter is just, it is so much just right now. Hey, not tomorrow, right now. Before you go to bed, get your heart right that God knows. And the preacher don't know. And the president don't know. And all these people. But God does know. And I'm good with that. I'm trusting God. And God does know. Verse 8. Harden not your hearts. As in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. There are two great Bible examples. We won't go into them in depth tonight. But hard-heartedness cost Pharaoh. Cost Pharaoh his kingdom, cost him a bunch of his soldiers, cost him a bunch of kids, cost him a bunch of cattle, hard-heartedness, provoked by God. Had a chance to humble himself and just do as God asked. What would he have lost? He'd have lost sight amongst his countrymen. Who knows what had happened to him? He got voted out as Pharaoh, man. He got a new Pharaoh. He let all these Jews go. What were you thinking? Hardened his heart. Son died. Lost the people anyway. A bunch of his good soldiers end up dying in the Red Sea. Hard-hearted. Then we get out in the wilderness. We're free people. We're free to follow God. We're free to worship as we would. But we don't like the way God's doing it. So we get hard-hearted. God says, I'm going to let you die. And when your carcasses are all piled up and gone, then I'm going to take your kids because I'm tired of your belly aching and whining. Those are two examples. Hard-heartedness. I think hard-hearted. I think when I hear complaining and I think of complaining, I think of 40 years walking in circles, going a distance that I can't remember. Preacher, it's like they had to go a distance that'd take them like 2 weeks, you know, and they wandered around it for 40 years. I mean, just you know, straight shot as the crow flies type thing. Just unbelievable. Hard-hearted, right? You can come out of this mess and just get hard, or you can say, God knows. You got to just put up with him being in control and us not being in control because we think, like, well, we're an American. We got this and we got this. We'll say, what if people don't hold to the system? We got what we got going on now. It's going to take a purging and a cleansing. And it's not by uprising and it's not a coup like the other networks. Mercy. A coup? No, I don't think so. They'd have done a little better than that. That was pretty wimpy. There I was talking to Brother Randy. When we went, Brother Harding took us through the rotunda at night after the last session. Those were long nights, Brother Randy. Man of life. I just remember, Miss Yvonne, you're so tired. You walk for forever. And if you've been in D.C., nothing's like, oh, and just over here, it's just over yonder. Surely there's buses. I remember waiting for the buses, and the wind came up that one day, and I was standing next to your dad, Miss Heidi, and the wind was so cold. I'm pretty warm anyways. It just hit my forehead like a knife, man. I didn't have a bucket box. It's like, this is cold. But you couldn't walk to where we had to go because it was so far. But we're going through the rotunda, and it is gorgeous in there. It is so cool. And they have, as a history, just
upon his, and that's what I just was like, oh, you meatheads. Some guy there grabbing fire extinguishers today and just shooting fire extinguishers. I was like, there's awesome stuff that's happened in those places. And you're just messing it up just to be a schmuck. Just that was frustrating to me. I thought, man, what a neat spot. But some of these people are walking through and they're just, you know, stuff's corded off and they're just following the little corded paths. It's like, yeah, real anarchists and real coup there, real mess. We get hard-hearted about things and we don't listen. We don't listen. Your kids get hard-hearted about something. How do they listen? They just get harder. And it's like, you know, you get your oyster knife out and you start working on them and just even the little ones. My little one can get that. Like, try to knead him. Woof! All right. You know, hope you're a tailback, man. You're gonna be tough. You're gonna be real tough. Get hard. And that's where the provoker, you really gotta watch it. You over provoke somebody, you harden them. You get them hard. Harden not your hearts. Bible says, verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. So they're the example for most of the Bible there in complaining. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. You could be right down the line with all the make the right and your heart just be wrong with God. We're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. But is my cause to have my heart right with God? Do I have my heart right with God? Is that what I'm shooting for? Or am I just shooting for an easy life? I want my heart to be right. They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. The Bible says, they tempted me, they proved me, they saw my works. They could write a book about God, but they didn't know who He was. They never let Him in. It's crazy to me. You know what got into their hearts? Vegetables. Leeks. Garlic. It was just like the craziest thing. Their stomachs. It was like, really? The menu? That would really... You would rather have that? I told you the other night, I want to try manna. I really do. I think, man, God's provided it for you. He's given it to you. Let's not err in our hearts. Let's not be hard-hearted. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. It's a picture. You're going to tempt God and be hard-hearted against God. He's going to let you walk in circles and die. And then He's going to show somebody else the way. I mean, where was the battle? Was it going against Jericho or was it wandering out there in the desert? What was the difference? Their hearts weren't right. They weren't fighting enemies. They were fighting God. God was there trying to protect them. He was there trying to provide for them, trying to do all those things that God does. And once that group was out of the way, then there's a group and they still, you look at it and think, well, the spies went in, only two of them said, we got this. And the rest are saying, we're grasshoppers. And God gave it to them. God said, nope, you're going to go in, you're going to do it. And He gave it to them. Why? The heart was right. Heart was right. Look at these things. Big obstacles, right? We think, oh man, what's going to happen? We're trying to do the math. And you listen to these guys talk. It was like, well, if this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens, God, just make it happen. And we just pray for them. Make it happen. Pray for them. Don't get your heart hardened. You won't be worth anything. You can't be led. You can't be helped. Your heart is hard. It's not the way to be. To keep from getting a hard heart, you got to humble yourself and you got to consider God. Just like we started the chapter and say, Lord, you know these things. Lord, we're idiots. I tell God I'm an idiot sometimes. Like, Lord, so dumb. I'm sorry. I'm dumb. It's like, oh, wow, you know, we're pretty smart people. No, we're not. Not compared to God. We're not. We showed it today. We're schmucks at times. I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter in my rest. And I want to be in rest in God. I want to be there.
where God does all things for me. I follow Him, He provides. It doesn't mean you don't work. It means He does the work. He works through you, but you're in rest. It's not talking about R.I.P., in the grave, rest in peace. It's talking about in this life. Those children that He wanted them, He says, I just want you. Could you imagine if they would have just said, you know what, Lord, You're our God. We're going to purge the camp of all this wickedness, and we're going to get rid of all this stuff, and we're going to fight. What those years would have been like? Would it have been 40 years? Maybe they'd have made progress sooner if things would have been right and their hearts would have been right. Well, where do you want to? We don't want to go that way. Like, Lord, You take us wherever You want. Isn't it awesome when the kiddos say, hey, where y'all want to go? We don't care. You guys are awesome parents. You take us on awesome trips. We love them all. We love them. We love them. We love them. We don't care where you do. My mom used to take us on field trips. Mom, if you're listening tonight, it's true. And she said, we're on a field trip. Oh, I just tease about it. I'm like, where does this road go? No, Dad. That's dangerous up here because there may be no end to it, right? Or there is. It's just over the bank, you know. It's like it's over the. These poor people in the ditch tonight. I almost pulled over to see what was so cool about the ditch tonight. Just being like, what is in there that you guys got to just somehow thinking bridge needs to be there? So you just got your car across the thing. And it's like a guy tried that last week. You should have seen him last week. I mean, why would you try it? In the same spot. I just wanted to pull over and be like, but I was going to get to church and get the Christmas trees down. What are we doing? Unbelievable. Lord, You know. You know. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart. The Bible says of unbelief. So now it's, God can't save our... He can do whatever He wants. He can do it with none of us. We struggle because we see the same faces, we hear the same thing, and we get no... Nothing changes, right? And I'll be honest. When stuff started falling apart, I was just kind of watching, like, wow, they're really breaking in there, aren't they? You know, and I was just like, oh, this is unbelievable. You told them to be quiet. You told them to go away. And we live in a country where that just doesn't, you get represented. I mean, you just do. This stuff's just kind of bubbled up. And for a second, you're just like, can you blame some of these people? It's not right. All the good people, even some of the bad people, say it's not right. It is absolutely not right. But there was a lot of that going on, a lot of this year, and only some of the people were saying, this isn't right. And there was kind of like quiet, not saying a whole lot about it. Pretty much only peaceful protests, pretty much. You know, people shot with high caliber rifles and fires and bombings and lootings and stores broken and people fleeing towns because they can't have a business there. Mostly peaceful. Seattle, Washington State. It's absolute anarchy downtown right now. It is a mess. Unbelievable. Well, we don't want to have any order. We're going to figure it out ourselves. We don't need this. And God, we don't need You. And we got to make sure that our minds are thinking about Him. Our hearts aren't hardened against Him. We're talking about Him. People need to learn about God in these last days. Jesus is going to come very soon, I believe. He's going to come soon. And that's not a matter if it's 20 years from now. It's going to be soon. And we've got to help people understand that, man, we need to trust. Well, we're almost done tonight. The Bible says in verse number 13, we'll be done. But exhort one another daily, every day, every day. While it is called today, each day, each day. Lift somebody up. Encourage them. Exhorting is encouraging. You can't believe for some people. I can't. I've tried. It in the coaching realm, it gets you more gray hair and no hair than anything else. You're just thinking like, I just want it worse than that kid wants it. That's not right. It's killing me. And then I'm thinking, is this even possible? Could this kid even do this? Maybe he could. Of course he can. He's got the best coach there is. It's like, yes, he can do it. No, I just... But you're thinking, come on, kid. Oh, I don't know. Or somebody just doesn't show up. This, but you're like, oh, you have to exhort them. Some days it's like, I don't do this. You got to exhort them every day. And you got to, I mean, even exhort yourself in the Lord. Build yourself up. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And the closest one to that verse is the sin of unbelief. That's the closest one there. Unbelief. Well, I don't know if God can. Yeah, He can. He can. And He can do it without having control of any of the branches too. He really can. That was interesting today. They're saying, boy, the Senate ends up 50-50. You know what that makes all them senators? Important. Every one of them. It's like, well, they're holding each other hostage, you know. Oh, I might not vote for you, right? Because everybody's even money, you know. I just had to laugh at that. Father, we thank You for Your grace to us, Lord. We love You, Lord. We do love our country. We ask that You bless our prayer time tonight. And we pray, Father, that You would bless these that represent us that are working tonight. We pray for the loved ones, the family of this one that was shot and killed today, for grace. Lord, we pray for this other one that was reported shot, for healing. And Father, we just ask that You do a work. We trust You. And Lord, help us, as the Scripture saith, to not be hardened. And Father, to exhort one another, to encourage each other in the Lord. And, You referred to us as holy brethren at the start of the chapter. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to consider Christ in these matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jared, would you mind snagging me a prayer sheet in the back? All my kiddos left me tonight. Mom teaches a better Bible lesson, so Jake bailed on me. And thanks, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. All right.